You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, my friends. How are you today? How good is it we can gather together on Good Friday, that we can celebrate and remember and thank God for what He has done, for sending Jesus? And you know, how good is it we can gather as a church to worship and glorify the one who gave it all so that we could receive His grace, mercy and forgiveness? And you know, if I haven't met you before, my name is Renu and I'm one of the pastors here at Gateway. And if you're visiting here this morning, or this is your first time at church, or maybe you've been or haven't been for a while, you know, my prayer is that you are encouraged by the service this morning, that you will receive from God a revelation of His love, of His grace, of His hope, His peace, and the future that He has for you. So why don't you join me as I open in prayer? Lord God, I just thank You that You are a good God, and I just thank You that You love us. I thank You, Jesus, that You paid the price so we could know You and be restored to relationship to You. We worship You this morning in Holy Spirit, as Pastor Grant said, that You would speak to each of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd love to find out from the room here, how many people are handy sort of DIY project kind of people? Can I see a show of hands? Yep, a few people here. Phil, I know you are. You're a problem-solving, handy sort of person. Anna, Fiona, yep, Ned too. Okay, and how many people are not so much you want to get a professional in? Anyone? Yep, that as well. And so I'd like to think that there's maybe two, maybe three types of people in the world. The first is the handy DIY people who can get a job done. The second is the not so DIY people who can't get it done and get a professional. I would like to say I'm maybe in the third group. I think I'm a handy DIY kind of person, but the outcome doesn't always happen that way. Anyone else like that? Like I'm very gung-ho, I got this, we can do this, and then next minute, oh, should have called a professional. The reason why I say this is, see, about 6 months ago, my husband and I, we bought a flat pack 3x3 shed from Bunnings. Anyone had a shed like that before? Anyone ever had to put a shed up like that before? Yep, so you know what I'm talking about. Hopefully you know how this story goes. Now, like I said, we're probably not the most handy of people, but we had instructions. Bevan watched a video and we were like, I think we can do this. So we started doing it and all started out so well. We got the panels, we got the sheets all sorted, it was going well. But see, there was a few extenuating or external circumstances that influenced the day. It was a very, very windy day. So as we started to put the panels up, they started to bend a little bit and the connection parts started to not fit because they were bent. We kept persevering and kept going. We got the walls up of the shed. We even got to bolt it down with the roof kind of half attached, but then the roof wouldn't stay on. So night was upon us. It was getting dark and we were like, we just got to leave it there. So we secured it with some rope and left it. And then we were away for the weekend and came back. And that was the weekend that we had like the winds over 100 kilometers an hour. You know, it's like the strongest wind for 100 years. Of course, we picked that weekend to build our shed. And we came home to this. So our whole shed had collapsed. You can even see the rope where we tried to unsuccessfully secure it. We came down back to this. You can imagine we were frustrated and disappointed, but then we had a light bulb moment. You know, we decided to call for help. So we put in an insurance claim and they sent a tradie, and this like one-man tradie did the whole thing himself, put it all together. So now we do have a shed that looks better. It looks like this. Thank you. Thank you for clapping. We should clap for the tradie, though, because, like, let's be honest, we had nothing to do with that. You know, I shared this story with you this morning because it reminds me a little bit of what we can be like, right? We like me, a bit gung-ho. We want to do things ourselves. We think we can work it all out. And it starts off well, but maybe some external circumstances, a windy day happens, challenges, health issues, loss, things come up that then cause things to get a little bent. Or a little bit unravel, and we try and put our little rope around things or secure things our way, but somehow it doesn't work. You know, sometimes we need a bit of help. Sometimes we need to ask someone to do something that we cannot do ourselves. See, the tradie came and saved our shed. The tradie offered his help, but we had to pay an excess of our insurance to get that to happen. Can I encourage you? Jesus didn't come to save our shed. Jesus came to save the world. Jesus came for our redemption, for our restoration. Just like that tradie offered his help, Jesus offers his hope, his joy, his strength and peace. See, Jesus gives us the opportunity to walk forgiven and in restored relationship to him. And around this time of Easter, as we recall Resurrection Sunday, as we remember Good Friday, we remember the price Jesus paid for us on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection on the third day. And we remember the price he paid for you and for I. But this morning, as we recall and we reflect his death and burial and resurrection, you know, my heart is that you will be reminded of, that it will cause gratitude to rise in your heart if you already know him personally. Or if you don't, that you will experience for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, his love, his joy, his hope for you. So let's look at one of the accounts of Jesus' crucifixion that's found in the Bible. We're going to look at Luke 23 today. So if you've got your Bibles with you or your Bible app to follow along, just to give you a backstory, although I know many of you here would know this backstory, God sent Jesus to live on the earth as a human with a purpose for the redemption of all humanity, for you and I. Whilst Jesus lived on earth, he performed miracles, signs, and wonders. Jesus lived a perfect life. But you know, religious leaders of that time were threatened by Jesus, and so they plotted to kill him. But because he lived a perfect life, because he did nothing wrong, they could not find a reason to get him in trouble. However, nonetheless, he was betrayed, he was wrongfully accused, he was put on trial, and he was sentenced to be crucified. You know, on that journey to the cross, he was mocked, he was beaten, he was taunted, yet Jesus did not retaliate. We pick up the account of his crucifixion in Luke 23, starting at verse 32. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Verse 34, I love Jesus' response here. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. You know, I'm so blown away when I read that verse in verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Despite the betrayal, despite the pain, the suffering he experienced, Jesus' words, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Can I encourage you this morning? This is God's heart for us. This is God's heart for you and I. One of forgiveness, one of love. No matter what you have done, Jesus offers his forgiveness. Can I encourage you that God is not angry with you? God is not looking to condemn you, but his heart is one of love. In John 3:17, it says this, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Not to condemn us, not to condemn you, but to save us. Let that be encouragement to you today. Let that be a new revelation today, or a fresh revelation, or a great reminder of the love we experience. You know, for those of us here who have a personal relationship with Jesus, aren't you so grateful that that is God's heart for you and I? Aren't you so grateful that we have that forgiveness, that Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. You know, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. That we get to walk in freedom. We get to walk in freedom from guilt and shame because of the price that Jesus paid. We get to experience his hope, his joy, his peace. Let such gratitude continue to rise in your heart for that. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's Jesus' heart for us, a heart of forgiveness. But we read on about how Jesus was on the cross and the people continue to mock him. We read in Luke 23, verse 35 to 38, "The crowds watched and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he really is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." You know, I look at that and I think Jesus on the cross there for them and because of them. He was there for them to pay the price for their sins, yet they mocked. You know, if I was Jesus, thankfully I'm not, I probably would have reacted. You know, God, just send a lightning bolt down and hit one of those for mocking me. But that's not Jesus' heart at all, is it? You know, maybe that's how we view sometimes God, that God is angry and he's going to send something to punish it. But that's not our Jesus. That's not our Savior. That's not our Lord. You know, even in this most challenging moment, even despite the suffering, the betrayal, we see how he looks to restore as we keep on reading. We look at his heart that in the moment of great hardship, of great challenge, how he looks to restore, how he looks to bring change to someone's life. See, because at the start of the passage, we read how Jesus was crucified between two criminals. One of the criminals in verse 39 says this, "One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." His response was to mock Jesus as well. But we see the response of the second criminal. And this is what I want to look at today. We're reading from Luke 23, 40 to 42. But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said in verse 42, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You know, this response, the man's response to Jesus was life-changing for him. The man's response the moment when he was next to Jesus on the cross was life-changing for him. You know, this criminal, he acknowledged his wrongdoing. He said, "We deserve to die for our crimes." This echoes what it says in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, "We deserve to die our crimes," but he also recognizes Jesus' righteousness. "But this man hasn't done anything wrong." This man hasn't done anything wrong. Yes, I deserve to die for what I've done, but this man is righteous. This man is innocent. And then he asked Jesus to remember him. What a powerful statement. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You know, and I read about that criminal, and I'll be the first to say, I used to be that criminal. I used to be that criminal. You know, I may not have committed those atrocities or the bad things that he had done that deserve crucifixion, but I've certainly done things that are wrong in the past. And I can confidently say that most of us here have. And please hear my heart here. It's not to bring guilt or shame or condemnation, because it's quite the opposite. Jesus came to bring freedom and restoration. But you know, at some point or the other, most of us here can identify that we were like that criminal. We were stuck in our old ways and our old life, that we deserved punishment for the wrong things we've done. But God. God sent Jesus. See, Romans 3:23 says this, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." But can I encourage you this morning, after verse 23 comes verse 24. It doesn't end with our sin. It ends with the gift of forgiveness available to all of us. He who was righteous, he who did nothing wrong, went to the cross for you and I. See, because we read in verse 24, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. How good is that? Yet God in his grace saved us. Yet God in his grace sent Jesus so we could be restored to relationship with God. So then what is our response? You know, for us today, we have that opportunity like the man to acknowledge our wrongdoing. We can ask God to forgive us. We can declare Jesus. We declare that we can believe that what Jesus did for you and I. Romans 10:9 says this, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." A simple prayer, a simple faith statement. You know, that man, the criminal on the cross, he just said he'd done the wrong thing. And he said, "Jesus, would you remember me?" Such a simple statement, but such a powerful statement. This man's response shifted his trajectory for eternity. Your response to Jesus can shift your trajectory for eternity. I'll say that again. Your response to Jesus can shift your trajectory for eternity. Because Jesus' response to the man, despite the suffering, the betrayal experience, is one of restoration. In Luke 23:43. And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus offers this man the assurance of being with him in heaven. Jesus offers a restored relationship to God because of him. This man was given a hope for eternity. Jesus does the same for you and I today. Jesus gives us hope for eternity. Aren't you so thankful that he gives us that hope? Aren't you so grateful? John 3:16, one of the most well-known scriptures, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That he gives us a hope for eternity. Through our response, we can experience his hope for eternity. you know, we may not be like this criminal. We may not be literally facing imminent death in that moment. So you might ask this a very valid question. But what does it mean for me today? You know, what does Jesus bring to my everyday life? Because yes, there's hope for eternity. But can I tell you, there is joy, there is hope, there is peace, there is strength for today. There is hope, there is joy, there is peace, there is love, there is a future for today. Not just a hope for eternity, but a joy, a love, and a peace, and a future for today. See, Jesus offers forgiveness and restored relationship to God through him. But Jesus also says in John 10:10, why he came. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it to abundance, to the full, till it overflows. Not just whatever kind of surviving life, life to the fullest, a life that is abundant. Now, I'm sorry I have to tell you, the first thing is that doesn't mean a trouble-free life or, you know, a free pass to no issues, no challenges. However, Jesus gives you his peace and his joy. His peace that surpasses all understanding. His peace that goes beyond what the human brain can comprehend despite what it's going through. He offers his peace. Peace that can help us overcome situation. Yes, we still may have to navigate challenges, but we have God's perspective. We have God's truth. He's all-knowing, all-powerful God. Who better to have than to give you insight for everyday life? John 14:27 says this as the team come. I'm leaving you with the gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Peace, such a peace from him. Can I also encourage you, for your everyday, God promises to be with you, guiding you, protecting you, and supporting you. I love what it says in Hebrews 13, verse 5. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Assuredly not. You know, that is the promise that we have. If you personally know Jesus, that you have received his forgiveness and his restoration, but you have the promise of his peace, his hope for you every day, his support. But you know, if you haven't personally responded to Jesus, I would love to give you the opportunity to do so shortly. So as I wrap up this morning, let me finish with another story. And I'm afraid this story is going to confirm how I'm actually that third category of person who thinks they're good at DIY, but it's actually not. See, a few weeks ago, our bathroom sink started to clog a little bit. And you could tell like something was blocking it up. Anyone ever had that with their sink? Now, the first response is probably to kind of pour something down there. But I was kind of very much like, oh, I don't want to put any chemicals in there or anything like that. So Bevan said, look, we can probably use like a natural remedy. He looked up like dishwashing liquid or with baking soda. But when I was a kid, I used to help my dad with our sinks in Malaysia because they were open. Like they had a U-shaped pipe underneath it. And you could loosen that and you could clear out kind of all the muck. So even though Bevan said, you know, let's try this remedy, I thought I knew better. So I opened up the pipe and, you know, it was all going so well. I pulled the hair out and pulled the muck that was in there. And I was like, it's working. It's all going in the bucket. The water's flowing really well. But then it came to putting back the pipes in the place they're meant to go. Now, a smart person probably would have taken a photo of the pipes or kind of thought about how they'd taken it out in order to put it back. But obviously, I wasn't that person. So I started trying to put the pipes back together. And I was like, something's not working. Like, I must have been missing a seal or something like that. And so when I turned the water on, it kept leaking through the pipe and that U-shaped pipe. And I struggled with it on my own for ages because I was a little bit prideful. I was like, well, I can't ask for help, can I? Because I've gone and done the thing I shouldn't have done. But finally, I said, you know, Bevan, I need some help with this. And, you know, he'd already told me not to do it. So he probably could have said, I told you so, or, you know, you've made your bed, now you've got to lie in it and sort it out. See, you laugh because you have heard him say that before, right? Those of you who know him. But he didn't. He sat down on the bathroom floor with me and helped me put those pipes back together. And he fixed it all. And I'm thankful to say our bathroom sink does not leak anymore. No thanks to me, but thanks to Bevan. You know, he offered his help despite my resistance, despite me trying to do it my own way. And you know, that reminds me of Jesus' heart for us. That, you know, sometimes we try and do things our own way. Sometimes we think, I've got this, I can do this myself. Maybe pride gets in the way. Maybe our own desire to be like a self-made person. Maybe we think we're going okay. And maybe sometimes, like I did with the kitchen, with the bathroom sink, you can make a mess of what you've done. But Jesus is there to offer His hope, to offer His forgiveness, to offer His love, His grace, His peace, His joy to you. Your response to Jesus can shift your trajectory for eternity. So where do you find yourself on the journey of acknowledging your need for Jesus? Can I encourage you once again that Jesus is not condemning you or angry with you or wanting to punish you, but He offers a restored relationship to God through Him. He offers His help. Romans 10:13 says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls the name of the Lord. This is an opportunity available to everyone and anyone. Like that man on the cross next to Jesus, to receive His forgiveness, to ask for His help, to receive His forgiveness and His hope for eternity. Friend, you have the opportunity to acknowledge your wrongdoing, to say, "Jesus, I believe in You. I need You in my life." You can declare that, and this is done through a simple prayer. So this morning, if you are here and you've never personally responded to Jesus, you know, I'm not talking about going to church or attending a church service or knowing of God or doing RE in school, but a personal response to Jesus, like that man on the cross said, "I acknowledge I've done the wrong thing. I acknowledge You are God. Forgive me. I want to follow You." I would love to give you the opportunity to do so. If you're watching online, this opportunity is for you as well. See, I'm going to lead the church in a prayer. Many of us, most of us, have prayed this prayer at some point, a prayer of acknowledging our wrongdoing, acknowledging that we need Jesus, believing in what He has done, and being restored to relationship with Him. So if that's you, you know you need to personally respond to Jesus, that your response to Him can change your trajectory for eternity. Whether you're saying this prayer for the first time, or perhaps you know you've been away from God, but you're like, "I need to get right in this moment." Would you repeat this prayer with the church as they repeat after me? Church, would you bow your head and close your eyes out of respect? Would you repeat after me, church? "Jesus, I need You. I acknowledge my wrongdoing. I ask You to forgive me. Jesus, I declare You are Lord. I believe You died on the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day. I thank You because of that. I am saved. Teach me to follow You. Amen."
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.